Holy Thursday is when we celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper, which brings us to that familiar scene of Jesus with his apostles having the Last Supper before he dies on the cross. And this is a great mystery in the life of Jesus, where he institutes the priesthood, the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is his body and blood, and he gives us both the command of charity and the example of charity. It is the beginning of what we call the Sacred Triduum, the celebration of Holy Thursday, and then we come to Good Friday, where we meditate upon the cross of Christ, the great vigil of Easter, where we unite ourselves with that sense of waiting for the great victory of Jesus, and then Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the victory of Christ in his glorious resurrection. Now, this is the high point of the liturgical year, and if you look at the Church's liturgy, its liturgical celebrations throughout the year, we live over and over again the life of Jesus, or we try to enter into his life. You know, Jesus is a divine person, and so his riches are inexhaustible. We can always grow in our knowledge of Jesus and our discipleship, our following of him. The suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Christ is the central mystery in the life of Jesus, and it sheds a whole new light upon his entire life and his teachings. Tonight, when we celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper, his suffering, his death, and resurrection sheds a new light upon what he does at the Last Supper. You know, if Jesus had simply died and disappeared into history, then what he did at the Last Supper would not have much meaning for us even today. Yet he suffered on the cross, he died, was buried, and he rose from the dead, which means everything he did at the Last Supper has a very great importance. The first thing is he institutes the priesthood among his apostles. Not that this means that these apostles were any better than the rest of humanity at that time who did not receive the priesthood. Based on their performance, Jesus could not find anybody worse than them to become priests. You look, for example, at Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, saw the face of Jesus Christ, which is something that we would want to be able to see him. If we saw Jesus, it would almost like be enough for us. We would be like, our lives are complete. Everything is great in life. Even if we went through some kind of hardship, if we could just see Jesus, it would be a huge thing for us. Judas saw Jesus face to face, saw his eyes, heard his voice, witnessed his miracles, heard his teaching, and was in the presence of his majesty and power. And Judas had everything, but all the while, he is plotting against Jesus. Judas is corrupt. He's a thief, he's a liar, and he's conniving with others to bring down Jesus. And then if you look at Peter and some of the other apostles, who at this time, they too, like Judas, had everything. They had Jesus right there in their lives. And what are they doing at the Last Supper? They are actually preparing to become overcome by fear. In other words, they're preparing to lose their trust in the Lord. There's a passage in the teaching of Jesus where he says, fear is useless. What is needed is trust. Well, most of these apostles are prepared to become cowards. They're going to lose all their trust in God and run away and deny that they even know Jesus. Now, there's a good lesson for us in this. It's not enough to be associated with Jesus. We need to really love him and to do his will. It's not enough just to be publicly known as a servant of Jesus or as a believer in him. We really have to love him and to try to do what he asks of us. Whenever we hear in our own day or in the history of the church, corruption in the priesthood or among anyone who is publicly recognized as a servant of Christ, this is what is happening. If we hear about corruption in the priesthood or among the bishops, what we have to do is recognize that what happened at the Last Supper is still happening. You have the sinfulness of Judas, and then you have the cowardice of Peter and the others, their fear to stand strong against evil. And what we have to do is we got to see through that darkness and see the good things that Jesus is doing. It's not enough to be associated with him, but we really have to love him. And then he gives us, at the Last Supper, the gift of the Eucharist, which is the real presence of Jesus, his body, his blood, his soul and divinity. And the Eucharist doesn't seem like much, but it's actually his greatest gift. I have often felt that if the Eucharist were not the real presence of Jesus, I never would have become a priest. I would have said, forget about it. But the Eucharist really is Jesus. He said, this is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And the celebration of Holy Thursday and this devotion to the Eucharist brings us, in a way, back to the mystery of Christmas, to Bethlehem. You remember when Jesus was born, he was just a little child. Seemed so insignificant in the face of the whole big world around him. But he was referred to at that time as Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And the people who went to the Nativity, who went to the baby Lord Jesus, had a sense of awe and wonder in his presence. If we had been there, we would have been like, I don't understand who Jesus is, but there's something about him that's beyond this world. And we must adore him and try to know him and do his will. Well, in the Eucharist, Jesus fulfills his identity as Emmanuel, God with us. And he fulfills his promise when he says, I am with you always until the end of time. After the consecration, when the priest says those words, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, that little pieces of bread and that little portions of wine become Jesus himself, his body, his blood, his soul and divinity. He is fully and completely present, even in the tiniest particle of the Eucharist. And that's why we try to take care of the Eucharist, to make sure the vessels are honorable and that they're clean and that they're cleaned after Mass with great care. Holy Thursday calls us to have this deep love for Jesus truly present in the Eucharist. After the Holy Thursday Mass, what people do is we have a procession with the Eucharist around the church. We spend some time in silent adoration of the real presence of Jesus. And it's a great gift. It's just like coming to Bethlehem, to the real presence of Jesus. We should try to have an amazement, a sense of wonder at the awesomeness of the gift of the Eucharist. It is actually the number one reason why we go to Mass. We go to Mass to hear God's word in the Bible and to receive his real presence in the Eucharist. And that lifts us up again and again. And then finally, Jesus gives us the commandment of charity and the example of charity. Now, we already had the commandment to love one another. It's present throughout all of the scriptures. But Jesus calls it a new commandment because he gives us that example of total self-giving. He shows us that true love is a gift of ourself to others. Christ humbles himself before others when he washes the disciples' feet. Now, the washing of the feet was not and is not a sacrament. It doesn't really do anything. It's just a symbolic action that Jesus was given to us to show us the humility before others that we need. It means that love is us trying to make people's journey in this life a little bit better. We try to help their path in life to be happier, to be more peaceful, to make them feel more good about their own value and worth, to make their lives better. And that could include quite a bit of self-sacrifice on our part. But that's what love is. By our daily goodness toward others, we love them and lift them up. Now, the gifts that Jesus gives to us at the Last Supper are rejected. Right after he gives these gifts, he's crucified. These gifts are rejected. They're trampled upon by betrayal, by cowardice, and by corruption. But the resurrection of Christ from the dead reveals that these gifts are greater than any evil that can afflict humanity. They're greater than any evil that can even afflict the hearts of men and women down through the ages, even in our own time. Dear brothers and sisters, in Holy Week, especially on Holy Thursday, let us have a new awareness of what Jesus does and a new faith in his power. In the Eucharist, we have Jesus. He's really there, and he's there because he loves us. May we love him always.